Good morning. Welcome to Senate Finance. Today is Tuesday, January 31st, 2017. The time is 9:01 a.m. If you're joining us off net or online, we're in Juneau in Alaska State Capitol, room 532 on the fifth floor. Is there anything to come before the committee before we begin? If not, I'd like to welcome Co-Chairman Hoffman.
Good morning, Madam Chair.
Vice Chairman Bishop.
Good morning, Madam Chair.
Senator Olson.
Good morning, Madam Chair.
Senator Machicki.
Good morning, Madam Chair.
Senator Dunleavy.
Good morning.
Senator Von Imhoff.
Good morning, Madam Chair.
And I'm Co-Chairman Anna McKinnon. On today's agenda, we have presentations on the indirect expenditure cost and recommendations. We'll hear from Dan Stickle, the Chief Economist, and Kai Clark, an economist from the Department of Revenue, followed by Alexi Painter, a fiscal analyst for the Legislative Finance Division. I'm looking to see if Senator Stevens is here again today. He's joined us quite frequently. Don't see him in the audience today. With that, Mr. Stickle and is it Ms. Clark? Mr. Clark. Mr. Clark, if you'd come to the microphone. Because there are two male voices, if you would first identify yourself for the secretary so that we can appropriately identify that voice, and then if you change between each other, if you would pause and through the chair acknowledge your name again so that we can keep the recording clear.
Absolutely. Good morning, Madam Chair. For the record, Dan Stickle, Chief Economist with the Department of Revenue.
And good morning, Madam Chair. Kai Clark, Economist for the Department of Revenue, and I'm also the project manager for the indirect expenditure report.
Welcome to Senate Finance.
Excellent. Thank you for the opportunity to present today regarding the indirect expenditure report. For the presentation, I'm going to make some opening comments, and then I will hand it over to Mr. Clark to deliver slides talking about the legislation that established the indirect expenditure report, as well as providing an overview of the report that we produced out of Department of Revenue. And then I'll come back at the end to address some recommendations and considerations that we were asked to prepare by the committee.
Thank you, Mr. Stickle. Mr. Clark.
Once again, for the record, Kai Clark, economist for the Department of Revenue. As Mr. Stickle mentioned, we're just going to give a high-level overview of the indirect expenditure report that the Department of Revenue produces, and we're going to start with slide on page 4. Give a little bit of an overview and a history of where this report came from. House Bill 306 was passed in 2014. Signed on July 7th, 2014, and it requires that the Department of Revenue submits a report every 2 years to the legislature that details indirect expenditures of all departments and agencies of the state. The same bill also requires that the Legislative Finance Division provides a report to the legislature on the same indirect expenditures of those departments and agencies before the start of the legislative session following the release of our report. So the first indirect expenditure report produced by the Department of Revenue was released the day after the bill was signed under some pretty tight time constraints. That was July 8th, 2014, a day after the bill was passed. And now the second indirect expenditure report produced by the Department of Revenue was released July 1st of this past year, 2016. This next slide goes into a little bit of how an indirect expenditure is defined. It is defined by Alaska Statute 4305-095-D. It defines an indirect expenditure as an express provision of state law that results in foregone revenue for the state by providing either a tax credit or other credit, an exemption, but not including federal tax exemptions, discounts, a deduction, but that not including costs incurred in the ordinary course of business. and the last item, a differential allowance. Those are how an indirect expenditure can be classified.
Mr. Clark, if we could pause for one moment. Brief at ease. We're back on the record. For the general public, the documents, if we have cameras, look like this, and they're on the legislative, the state of Alaska legislative finance for the two different years. So I just wanted to make sure that those that are following at home could locate the documents. Mr. Clark, is it fair to say that this is foregone revenue that the state is not receiving based on the description that you described in state statute?
Yes, Madam Chair, that is correct. This is foregone revenue. An indirect expenditure is defined as foregone revenue.
I appreciate that. For me, that's an accounting or a practical way to describe it. But for the people of Alaska, it means that inside of state statute that we have chosen, we've selected different pieces of industry or otherwise to provide incentives or something laid out in state statute that we're not receiving money for a particular item that you just described. So I just wanted to make sure the general public understands this is foregone revenue that we could be receiving if we didn't have these particular exclusions out there. And that's why we call it an indirect expenditure. Mr. Clark, please continue.
Thank you, Madam Chair. We've moved to the next slide. This is page 6. We've covered this, but as we said, this most recent indirect expenditure report that was produced by the Department of Revenue was released July 1st of 2016. It provides details on 231 indirect expenditures across 11 state departments and agencies. 78 of those indirect expenditures, 78 of the 231 total indirect expenditures are administered by the Department of Revenue. So for the Department of Revenue's indirect expenditure report, we really want to make it clear that it was a cooperative effort, a real collaboration between all these different state departments, departments of the state, and the participating agencies. And it was coordinated by the Department of Revenue, but we couldn't have done it without the help of these other departments and agencies. We followed the same process that was established in 2014 with the first indirect expenditure report that was produced by the Department of Revenue. And we did make some minor changes and improvements. Some of those improvements included an improved presentation of the actual indirect expenditure report. When you open it up, the report now begins with a more expansive introduction detailing the process and the approach that the Department of Revenue took. We also improved the consistency of the reporting methodology. So those are just a few of the changes that we made over the last 2 years. Now we're going to delve in a little bit into what I just mentioned, the actual indirect expenditure report and the methodology behind producing the report. Internally, within the Department of Revenue, we had a dedicated economist along with countless other employees in the department, especially in the tax division, that helped us put together our section of the indirect expenditure report. We worked with the different work groups and sections within the Department of Revenue to find these indirect expenditures, making sure that we didn't skip over, you know, any area of the department. We developed a tax database and tax database reports to generate this data for the indirect expenditures that we did identify. And that process has helped us internally over the last 2 years to have all that data in one place and be able to pull the revenue impacts and the other pieces of information and data that we present in the indirect expenditure report. So that was really helpful. One of the issues that we had in 2014 was defining a consistent definition for fiscal year. I'm going to refer to fiscal year as FY through the remainder of the presentation, but I just wanted to make sure that FY is defined as fiscal year. Within the tax division, we have a variety of different tax types, and these tax types we receive returns for in different time frames. Here on the slide, it says we can receive them on a monthly, quarterly, or calendar year basis. And so we really just needed to define or develop a consistent definition for fiscal year. So we had a consistent way of reporting and recording the indirect expenditures related to all these different tax types that are reported differently to the tax division. The definition was also necessary because of the lag in receiving information for certain tax types. Some of those tax types, as you can see on the slide, include corporate tax, mining tax, and others. And we're going to talk a little bit more about that on the following slide here. So, as I mentioned, we came up with a concrete definition for fiscal year, and that definition was determined to be that the fiscal year includes any tax periods beginning during the fiscal year. This is similar to how how federal tax data is reported by the IRS. An example that we've included here, for example, fiscal year 2015 corporate tax data would include any returns for periods beginning July 2014 through June 2015. In this case, for corporate tax data, we receive most of those returns during the beginning of calendar year 2015. So establishing a concrete definition helped us to be able to measure and quantify that data more easily internally for us. We just wanted to use that as an example of a process we had to work through within our department. Because of these new parameters and our new definition for fiscal year, some of the fiscal year 2015 Department of Revenue data is unavailable. If we go back to that corporate tax data example, for example, if we receive a tax return in June of 2015 with an extension, that tax return wouldn't be due until March 2017. This report was produced July 1st of 2016. Because of that time lag, some of the indirect expenditures under the Department of Revenue have incomplete or unavailable data for fiscal year 2015. And that's just kind of a little bit about the history of why that is.
Mr. Clark, I have a question. Mr. Clark, does that mean then that if you're reflecting cost savings in the revenue foregone inside of the report, that we have a conservative number that's in there in respect that there may be something that affects it that could increase the reporting number for cost savings or indirect expense? Help me with the language.
Sure, I can take that one. Madam Chair, for the record, Dan Stickle, Department of Revenue. So I think when you look at the fiscal year 2015, the way we've defined it for the indirect expenditure report, there is an amount of revenue impact beyond what's shown in the revenue in the indirect expenditure report. For instance, looking at education credits was a great example. So far for fiscal year 15 in the definition, there's been about $5 million in education credits claimed in the system. That's an incomplete number, but it is a number above and beyond what's shown in the book.
Mr. Stickle, I'm looking at page 51 of the January 2017 report, and it shows almost $1.6 million of foregone revenue. So that the people of Alaska better understand some of the indirect expenses that are in the report, this is for the WAMI graduate medical education program, and we are, under state statute, as I understand it, trying to encourage students to come back to Alaska to practice medicine, and so we are helping to pay a portion of their school costs by doing this. It's financial support that will have to be repaid at 50% versus 100%. So I just want the public to know that some of these programs have specific benefits. Actually, all of them have some kind of benefits that people have supported in the past, but we're going through that process to see if this is still the highest and best use of these particular foregone revenue. Is that a complete number, Mr. Stickle, inside of the WAMI program, or could there be trailing numbers that would increase the cost or the revenue impact for, as an example, the WAMI numbers?
Sure. Madam Chair, looking at page 51 of the Legislative Finance Indirect Expenditure Report, of course, any detailed questions on the indirect expenditures reported by the other agencies other than DOR, we would refer to the agency. But I believe that's a complete number. This might be a good time to point out that there are two indirect expenditure reports. There's a DOR, Department of Revenue indirect expenditure report, and a Legislative Finance indirect expenditure report. They have the same name, which can be somewhat confusing. Our report is posted on the Tax Division website at tax.alaska.gov. But just to clarify which of those two reports that we were looking at for that.
Mr. Stickle, is Legislative Finance report reviewing your report?
That's correct.
Thank you. So we have two reports, and this is from a legislative perspective from our own finance division based on the information you provided in your report.
Correct, Madam Chair. So the way the protocol works is we survey all of the agencies within state government, and we produce our report over the summer on July of every other year, and then Legislative Finance basically reports on our report and does a drill down into the indirect expenditures for a certain set of departments each year and makes recommendations about those indirect expenditures.
Thank you. So if we wanted to these two books that I held up are two different reports. Legislative Finance then dove deeper in some categories in the first year than they did in the second year, but if we were to look on your website, we would have seen an overview of all credits both times?
That's correct.
Thank you.
Once again, for the record, Kai Clark, economist with the Department of Revenue. If we move to the next slide, we're now on page 10. We just went over the internal methodology for developing the Department of Revenue's indirect expenditure report. We're now looking at the external methodology of developing the report. And this is really where the cooperation and collaboration came into play between all the different departments and agencies within the state. The Department of Revenue met with these other departments and agencies, the 10 other main ones, and sent out a survey, and it was a very consistent uniform survey that was sent to each department. Each agency, as did the DOR, as we just went through internally, each agency examined their operations to identify indirect expenditures and report the required information that was laid out in statute. And a few departments identified provisions or potential indirect expenditures that did not actually meet the definition that was laid out in statute of an indirect expenditure. And if we move to the next slide, we're actually going to use some of those as examples, just so the committee is aware of provisions that may look like indirect expenditures, but under the statutory definition are not indirect expenditures. During the reporting process, for example, the Alaska Housing Finance Corporation identified one potential indirect expenditure, reduced loan rates, but it was part of their normal operations and wasn't required by statute, and therefore did not meet the definition of an indirect expenditure. The Department of Commerce, Community and Economic Development has certain licensing fees, which are set by statute to cover program costs. And these fees were reduced for residents versus non-residents, but because the program is completely funded by those same fees, it is not technically defined as foregone revenue, and therefore it does not meet the definition of an indirect expenditure. The University of Alaska, we use as our last example here. There are tuition waivers given to employees and their dependents, but they're considered part of the employee's benefit package and therefore not considered foregone revenue and indirect expenditure. And then there's the example of non-resident versus resident tuition. The university isn't necessarily discounting the resident tuition rate. Rather, the resident tuition rate is being used as a base rate, and there's a non-resident surcharge, and that is why the non-residents are paying more. In this example, it's not defined as foregone revenue if the residents are paying the base rate.
Thank you. Mr. Clark, in your report, do you have a list of all of the feedback from different agencies about not meeting the definition? You've given us examples that are good examples of what does not meet, but do you have a full list of what other agencies or departments reported as possible considerations for review or in response to your request at searching to make sure you were giving the legislature as much information as possible? Is there a list, and is that list in your report?
Yes, Madam Chair, I believe we do have that list. It's not included in the report. In the report, there's a list of agencies. Every department and state agency that we reached out to did get back to us and did fill out that survey. And we do have a list of those departments and agencies that filled out that survey, but that reported no indirect expenditures. But we don't have a list of reported indirect expenditures that were found not to meet the definition of an indirect expenditure.
So there is no list. There's just examples that you're providing us here.
These are just, yes, Madam Chair, these are just examples that we're providing here.
Thank you. Please continue.
If we move to the next slide, on page 12 here, this is the information that was required to be reported by statute, and all of this information was included in the survey that we sent out to the different departments and agencies of the state. I'll just go through each of these items. Each department was required to report the name of the indirect expenditure, a brief description, the statutory authority, the repeal date, the intent, the legislative intent in enacting the statute that created the indirect expenditure, the public purpose served by the indirect expenditure, the estimated revenue impact of the indirect expenditure for the previous five fiscal years, excluding the fiscal year immediately preceding the date the report is due. In this case, that means that this report does not include fiscal year 2016 data for revenue impacts. The estimated cost to administer the indirect expenditure and the number of beneficiaries of the indirect expenditure and who benefits. And it should be noted that although all of these items are required by statute to be reported, we did ask for two additional items of information from the different departments, and that included the year that the indirect expenditure was enacted and the type of indirect expenditure close to the beginning of the presentation. I mentioned that we define indirect expenditures differently, whether it's a credit or a deduction or a discount, and that is something that we ask the departments to provide us.
Senator Machicki?
I was going to wait till a little later, Madam Chair, but I can ask it now. Just the example I'll give is DNR. In your requirements, it doesn't look like you had, in the few cases where there was likely a beneficial offset, it doesn't look like you required the department to provide that. And I'll just go with on page 117, the royalty modification for the Agoric unit. Although the costs are substantial, the likely revenue impacts are net positive at some point, significant positive offsets. So was that a consideration on how that could relay a more accurate number? I mean, you look at FY15, the indirect expenditure name for the royalty modifications was a $26 million number and change for the actual foregone revenue. However, there's an offsetting benefit to the state. Is that something we should consider in the future?
Senator Michicki, through the chair, Dan Stickle for the record. That's a really good point, and yes, you definitely would want to look at both sides of the equation when evaluating these indirect expenditures. We have broadly captured the benefit of these expenditures in the public purpose line, and looking at that same page 117 of the legislative finance report, we say the public purpose is to stimulate increased production on the North Slope. So definitely if you're considering making changes to that indirect expenditure, delving into a little bit more detail to quantify that benefit would be prudent.
Senator Michicki.
On a few of these cases, and I'll probably put a little list together for you after this meeting, but a few of these cases, it seems like there should actually be a number 11 that says offset financial benefit to the state as opposed to that general public purpose, right? I mean, because we're talking about cash and foregone revenue, but in a few cases in the book, I just noticed we're missing that offset that I think I would want to look at as a legislator, and I know it takes more time to calculate, but it's in half a dozen of these, it's a pretty valuable benefit that's not captured in the report.
Senator Michicki, as an example, this is from it was enacted in 2006. Is that under ACES or is that PPT? It was a tax credit. Senator Bishop, do you? It was under PPT.
I'd have.
You have to go look.
I'd have to look, Madam Chair.
Yeah.
Mr. Stickle, would we need a statutory change to include the actual revenue offset on some of these? Many of them have no revenue offset. They're indirect expenditures for lack of a better phrase, in the purest of form, we're just foregoing revenue. Some of the other ones are foregoing revenue so that you actually have a product that is being produced and generates revenue. In fact, there's a royalty, I believe, modification in front of our resource committee to sell our own royalty oil. And so that is producing actually a net benefit for the people of Alaska. And it's fair to say, Senator Michicki, that this reports that if we eliminated this indirect expenditure, that we would see $26 million inside of state government for operating needs. But that is not necessarily true because you would lose the revenue that this credit was intended to help generate, which is a higher number when I've been part of a resource conversation on royalty modification. Senator Michicki.
Yeah, Madam Chair, it's actually a separate category, I believe. It's kind of lumped into the report, but in my view, I think there are approximately half a dozen here that I'm not sure belong in this report because of the offset. I mean, I think one could argue, and I don't think it'd take much of an argument to prove that it's actually a financial benefit in certain cases.
Senator Michicki, I think that's an excellent point, that there are specific items that were put in place before some of our time in the legislature that has created long-term benefit for the people of Alaska. And being able to call those out would be helpful in this conversation. Mr. Stickle.
Yeah, absolutely, Madam Chair. And in a couple slides, we talk a little bit about our future plans. The next Department of Revenue report will be due on July 1st of 2018. And we are actively soliciting ideas for how we can make that report more useful to the legislature and the public. And we're planning to meet with legislative finance over the interim this coming summer to work on improvements to that report. And so we'll definitely take this particular piece of feedback into consideration.
Please continue.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Once again, for the record, Kai Clark, economist with the Department of Revenue. We've moved to the next slide here, slide 13. This slide gives a brief overview of what you actually see when you open up the Department of Revenue's indirect expenditure report. As Mr. Stickles said, that report can be found on tax.alaska.gov. And when you open that report, it begins with an introduction discussing the purpose of the report, what is included in the report, and an explanation of the limitations of the report. And as I mentioned before, this is one of the areas that was notably improved over the previous report that was produced in 2014. That first report was produced under some fairly tough time constraints, and so we were glad to have a little bit more time to include a proper introduction and lay out the formalities of the methodology and process in a more comprehensive and a more detailed report. Within the report, the indirect expenditures are organized alphabetically, first by department, then alphabetically by division within the department, and then grouped by program name, if that is applicable. For example, in the tax division, we have a number of different programs that apply to the different taxes, fish tax and excise tax, corporate income tax, and they're grouped in that manner within the division. And finally, moving to this final slide of this section, and Mr. Stickle already alluded to our future plans, but we look forward to reaching out to the Office of Management and Budget and the Legislative Finance Division concerning the next indirect expenditure report and compiling the feedback and suggestions that we get from them. And as Mr. Stickle mentioned, we're open to suggestions as well from this committee and anybody else that looks through our report and finds somewhere that we can improve. We're very open to that. And within the Department of Revenue, this is an ongoing process, and we're looking to make this report the best we can. That finishes up this section of the presentation. I'm going to give it back to Mr. Stickle at this point, and he'll address some of the recommendations from the Department of Revenue that we have.
Excellent. Again, Dan Stickle for the record. On to slide 16, we were asked as part of this presentation to make some recommendations and point out some areas of consideration for the committee to aid in your efforts of addressing the state's budget situation. So as Department of Revenue, we're not formally recommending changes or repeal to any of the individual indirect expenditures, but we're going to point out five different areas that the committee may wish to look at as you're undergoing this process. So the first area to look at is there was a piece of proposed legislation during the previous legislative session that would have repealed four tax division indirect expenditures. It would have repealed a 0.4% deduction for filing expenses on the tobacco products tax. That had a revenue impact of about $54,000 in the most recent fiscal year. It would have repealed a discount for cigarette distributors that allows for up to 3% discount against the cigarette tax for the cost of affixing stamps to packs of cigarettes. That indirect expenditure had a revenue impact of about $360,000 in the most recent fiscal year. The motor fuel tax has a timely filing credit of up to 1% of the monthly tax due, and that indirect expenditure had a revenue impact of a little over $62,000 in the most recent fiscal year. And the fourth indirect expenditure addressed in House Bill 155 from the previous legislative session was a deduction for federal and municipal taxes paid that's allowed against the large passenger vessel gambling tax. We don't have a revenue impact estimated for that, as the amount of that deduction is not required to be reported when the operators file their tax returns, but it does have some impact on revenue received. So another way that we could look at indirect expenditures is to first, if you're looking to save money, look at where the money is. So what we've done in this slide here is we have gone through our database of all the indirect expenditures that have a quantified revenue impact, and we've sorted those. And we're happy to provide a similar list as this for the committee. We can do this by department. We can do it by different categories of indirect expenditures. But just looking at the top eight, oil and gas tax credits, the depletion deduction against the mining license tax, in the Division of Insurance at the Department of Commerce, there are two programs. The first allows for a lower tax rate for life insurance policies that exceed $100,000 of value. The second at the Division of Insurance in the insurance premium tax for hospital and medical services, companies are allowed to deduct the cost of claims paid against the value of the premiums they're paying tax on. Under the commercial passenger vessel tax in the Department of Revenue, companies are allowed to deduct local levies paid, so this would be the head tax we have here in Juneau as well as Ketchikan. That is allowed to be deducted before paying the state tax. The film production tax credit, that was actually repealed, so we still have some film credits that are working their way through the system, but that one's already been addressed. Foreign flight exemption under the motor fuel tax, as well as the senior discount for hunting, fishing, and trapping licenses. So those are, in terms of the indirect expenditures that have a quantified impact, those were the top eight in our report.
Mr. Sickle, the Senate Finance Committee is working on a tax credit bill. So if members have ideas, if you would generate them to our office, we're trying to put something together from the finance team here in the Senate to look at some of these particular tax credits that have been talked about this morning.
Excellent. So our next recommendation would be to review the legislative finance indirect expenditure reports, and you'll hear more about that in the next presentation. All told, in the 2015 report, legislative finance identified 74 different indirect expenditures that they recommended be either reviewed, reconsidered, or terminated. And in the most recent report, they recommended 18 indirect expenditures for review, reconsideration, or termination. So all in all, between those two legislative finance reports, there are 92 indirect expenditures that they have recommended be reviewed in some way.
Senator Von Imhoff.
Thank you for this. I can wait for some of my questions so we're done. But one of the questions that I have is there a way to put some of these, especially the ones that you recommend to be terminated, to an easily identifiable spreadsheet, just so you don't have to, at this point I have to, I read it, and it was interesting, but then unless I flag it, I don't know which ones that you want, unless you put it in one sheet, and then you can kind of look at it, because the next thing then, because your next slide is what do you do with it, and we got to be able to look at them all and make decisions. You're smiling.
Sure. Senator Von Imhoff, through the chair, I was smiling at the flags on this report here.
Yes.
If flagged, like you suggest. So the ones at the top of mine are...
Right. So, I mean,
a probability.
Right.
These are all the ones we should review. Politically probable, politically impossible.
Okay.
But
see,
I always
feel like...
could get it across. Senator Von Imhoff, we do have a spreadsheet for some of these already established, but it would be helpful if the department, it could be a recommendation from the Senate Finance Committee to provide us a Excel spreadsheet with the credits on it with particular pieces for us to more easily and readily review so that we can look at them a little bit differently than page by page. But I understand that's additional work. As you move to refine the product, maybe we could add that, some kind of an Excel spreadsheet. that we could move through a little bit quicker than we don't need all of the criteria that you list to look at the recommendation sometimes. Senator Bishop.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Quick question. Mr. Stickle, ballpark figure man hours to compile this information?
Wow. Senator Bishop to the chair. It's a couple months of dedicated work, and then for our one economist, and then, you know, a part-time project for the rest of the year. So several hundred hours, at least within Department of Revenue.
Thank you.
Senator Von Imhoff.
I just wanted to say thank you. The report is easy to read. I think it gives an overview and captures all the different programs that we have. And other than if we didn't put it all in one book, I don't know if we'd be able to capture it all. So I really appreciate it. I really liked it. And I think it's completely worth it.
Thank you, Senator Von Imhoff.
Thank you.
It's eye-opening for Alaskans, and absolutely every piece of information that's in the book is important to all of us. I just want to be clear on my comments that an Excel spreadsheet could have less of the criteria on it so that we could go to the book, but point us in a direction to look at the highest impact. Even if we did it in ascending orders or descending order for the numbers of foregone revenue. But again, that goes back to Senator Michicki's comment that some of the foregone revenue is actually creating revenue, so we'll need an additional criteria to appropriately evaluate some of those. So thank you for that suggestion, Senator Von Imhoff. Mr. Stickle.
Excellent. And Madam Chair, we do have the data in an Excel spreadsheet. There's a lot of information in it, but we'd be happy to work with the committee to fine-tune that to meet your specifications and provide that.
Mr. Stickle, it's fair to say right now and point out again that there are two different reports, and so this comes from our Legislative Finance Division, which we can make the recommendation for a spreadsheet also instead of both divisions having to create, or one department having to create something that our division might be able to create. So we can look at who that might be more helpful from. Maybe not DOR, Department of Revenue. Maybe we ask Legislative Finance, our arm, to put it in an Excel spreadsheet for us versus both. Senator Michicki.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And there are, some of your recommendations are kind of based on what you know today, right? And I'll point you to a specific page 69, the inspection fee exemption for hair and nail salon operators. So your recommendation is that we charge a fee. I think in some cases it may be more appropriate that we evaluate a policy of self-compliance and self-inspection. I mean, as we look at what we can afford to provide from state government, in some cases, I think there are other ways that you're not going to consider to accomplish these same goals, right?
Brief of these. Back on the record. Senator Michicki. Mr. Stickle.
Yeah, actually my points were the legislative finance comments, and that was just my I appreciate them. I think you all provided a very valuable report. I mean, we have some suggestions on making it more effective that we've talked about, but that's kind of the continuous improvement process, right? Because the items presented in here are things done a certain way, and your response is that perhaps they should continue to be done a certain way with a different funding aspect. My point was that the legislature can look at different ways to accomplish these same tasks that don't have less of a cost, not only sometimes to the state, but also to the licensee.
Thank you, Senator Machicki. Mr. Stickle, did you have a comment?
Madam Chair, I think, just to clarify, our role at DOR has been to identify the universe of indirect expenditures, and then the Legislative Finance Division drills down into a certain subset of that universe for each of their reports and makes the recommendations. So if there's any follow-up on the recommendations themselves, I would defer that to Legislative Finance.
Sure. Thank you.
Thank you. Please continue.
Sure. So moving on to slide 20, which is our final slide, and this kind of gets a little bit to one of your questions earlier, Madam Chair. We are aware that there are some areas of foregone revenue in the state that do not necessarily meet the statutory definition of indirect expenditure. Fee-setting authority is one that came up a couple times during the process of producing our reports. So the legislature has granted broad fee-setting authority to certain agencies, and any discounts against that fee-setting authority wouldn't qualify as an indirect expenditure under the statute, since there's not an express provision of state law. So a couple examples would be the Department of Transportation, where they have broad authority to set fees for the Marine Highway System, and then discounts against that may or may not count as an indirect expenditure. The University of Alaska is another good example. They have broad authority to set their tuition rates and fees. And so when they offer a tuition waiver or a scholarship, that's not an express provision of state law that's allowing that. We haven't gone into a whole lot of detail in this area, but just wanted to raise this as another area the committee may choose to look for foregone revenues.
Senator Bishop, I know that you thought about it, and would you like to hold? Thank you. Mr. Stickle, please continue.
And that concludes our presentation. We'd be happy to take any questions.
Questions from committee members? Senator Machicki.
Madam Chair, I don't know if this is for DOR or not. It may be just something for us to consider, but you just wondered the particular area of revenue impact is the drinking water. Discounted interest rates on the loans related to drinking water. And
could you give us a page number?
Yes, page 88 through 91. And the annual impacts are about $9 million in 11. The highest was about $13.5 million in 14. Just, it seems like there is likely a federal program that might help with that offset. Certainly in support of the program, I just wonder how much effort went into that, and it may be worthwhile for us to chase that down. A pretty significant impact.
Senator Machicki, if you would, let's meet and talk about recommendations. Senator Von Imhoff gave a recommendation on a spreadsheet. I think that may be more appropriate for Ledge Finance versus DOR, but they are seeking input from us and have pointed us in different directions, and I think you point out positive improvements that we certainly could suggest to help truly understand how Alaska's revenue stream is being affected by some of these different I don't think they're programs, but by different pieces of state statute that we've implemented over time or allowed agencies discretion to lower or not meet the expenses that they're receiving from some items. And as an example, the Marine Highway that you were the subcommittee chairman on. They sent us a report on fee schedules, and we will hear more from them about how they've implemented or not implemented the fee schedule increases the report talked about. Senator Michicki, anything else?
No, Madam Chair. Thank you.
Mr. Stickle, Mr. Clark, I hope the experience was positive. We appreciate all of your hard work in allowing us a greater understanding of DOR's role, as well as the Alaska state statutes that are impacting our bottom line and benefiting different groups around our state through those state statutes. Thank you.
Thank you.
Brief at ease while we change out presenters. Good morning. We're back on the records. It still is Tuesday, January 31st, 2017. We have Alexi Painter, a fiscal analyst with Legislative Finance, before us. Welcome to Senate Finance. Alexi, if you would introduce yourself for the record, and then we have a presentation from the Finance Division on indirect expenditures.
Thank you. For the record, my name is Alexi Painter, Legislative Finance Division. And before I start, I just want to address a couple of questions that came up during Department of Revenue's presentation. We do have a sortable Excel document that we had prepared for the previous report from 2 years ago, and we sent that out to some legislators 2 years ago, but we can send it out again to new legislators and so forth. We can also prepare that for the newer report. We hadn't yet done that. And that just has all of the fields, but you can hide them and sort them however you prefer to meet your needs. The next was on a couple of these DEC provisions that Senator Michicki identified. The drinking water provision is a good example of one that has an offset. Federal government requires us to have that discount and funds it in order for us to have that loan program. So it's not really revenue that we could ever receive because it's a condition of the federal program. So it really shouldn't even be in the report, but DEC was being very thorough in what they chose to report. Similarly, well, not really similarly, but another one with hair and nail salon inspections. DEC actually no longer provides those inspections due to budget cuts. So our recommendation is to reconsider that structure because they have a statutorily mandated inspection but no funding source identified. So either the structure needs to be changed so that those inspections are not mandated or they should find a funding source, whether that's in fees or other.
Senator Michicki?
That was kind of my point, Madam Chair. I think it needs to be, the report could be scrubbed a little bit more. Those categories of spend and foregone revenue can be confusing. Some of them are unavoidable. Others, we've been looking at some of those DEC programs and looking to change the statutes that require the inspection and looking at some form of self-certification to take the cost away from the state and the licensee. So it's a... We're going to have to kind of evaluate them on a one-by-one, case-by-case basis. But for the ones that actually either have a significant offset, I think it's worth reevaluation by Department of Revenue as to whether or not they're included in the report.
Senator Michicki, I think that it's an excellent point. Another way to go after that would be to create a table for where we're showing the 15 with the decrement of lost revenue to show a same number that supports the revenue side so that the people of Alaska that might look at the report can see the benefit. So, and that offset could be coming in the form of UGF, DGF, or a federal program if a table was there. But we could send that home to our finance division to talk about to see how we might make a recommendation to DOR to include that for future conversations mm-hmm. in both reports so that we have similar numbers. I believe that's where we would get the numbers is from DOR, correct? Thank you, Senator Michicki.
All right. If there are no more, I guess, items from before, I'll start with our presentation. So as Kai and Dan said before, the Department of Revenue prepares a report on every agency each time. The Legislative Finance Division then makes recommendations based on those for select agencies every 2 years. So the first report covered the agencies Commerce, Community, and Economic Development, Fish and Game, Health and Social Services, Labor and Workforce Development, and Revenue. And so in the 2015 report, as DOR already said, we had 17 provisions that we recommended termination. The total revenue impact for FY14, that's actually the most recent revenue, the most recent year we have for a lot of these, but is 1 year beyond what's in that old report. The total known impact was $5 million. There were three provisions that had an unknown revenue impact, and I believe some of those may actually be the largest if there were legislation. We also recommended the modification or review or reconsideration of 59 provisions, and that may seem pretty high. The reason for that is that there were some areas of statute that we felt deserved a closer look of the entire fee structure. One example is fish and game fees. We had trouble saying that a given discount was reasonable or not because the entire fee structure at that point had not been modified in, I think, 25 years. So the legislature subsequently has modified the fish and game fee schedule since that report was issued. So at this point, we could probably review them in greater depth because it's a more recent fee structure. Another one like that is the mining license tax. Many of the provisions date back to statehood, and so it's very difficult to say whether they meet current legislative intent because that structure is probably out of date at this point, and it's hard to say whether a 3.5-year exemption is right or 2.5 years when the entire structure is so old. Then we had 37 provisions that we recommended continue and 25 that we were not able to make a recommendation, either because we don't believe that the item is actually an indirect expenditure or because there was insufficient information. An example of that is that some of the tax credits that have very few recipients have confidential revenue impacts. So we weren't able to say whether that was a reasonable thing or not because we did not have the information. We also, I guess I'll switch to the next one. We also did not review in that report oil tax credits. We prepared this report in the fall of 2014. Our oil tax structure at the time was undergoing a referendum and had recently been modified by the legislature, so we did not feel it was appropriate to question what the legislature had just passed and the voters were in the process of voting on. So of the items that we recommended were to be terminated, one of them actually was terminated as part of House Bill 247. That was an obsolete exploration incentive that had no revenue impact. As DOR mentioned, there were four other terminate items in House Bill 155. And then of the remainders, they're concentrated in a few areas. Six of them are in the corporate income tax, three of them are in the Commercial Fisheries Entry Commission, and then the other three are scattered around. So in 2017, we reviewed six more agencies. I actually forgot to put DEC on there. I apologize. I work with that department a lot, so they'll be annoyed at me. We also reviewed the education tax credit, which was not necessarily supposed to be part of this report. We felt it was important to have a detailed recommendation. That credit is scheduled to sunset at the end of calendar year 2018, and we had not reviewed it in the first report because it had been modified by the legislature that year, and it was too early to evaluate the impact. So at this point, we do have a detailed recommendation for that credit. In the 2017 report, the breakdown is a little different. We only had two recommended terminations. One of those has an unknown revenue impact. The other has no revenue impact. This is an obsolete provision. We recommended that 13 provisions be modified or reviewed. The remaining 56 were either continuation or no recommendation. So in the 2017 report, part of the reason so many of them had the recommendation to continue was that a lot of them were items that don't really have revenue generation as a goal. An example of that is fix-it tickets. So if you get pulled over for having a headlight out, they give you a ticket, and if you fix it, you don't have to pay that ticket. The goal of that is not to make you pay the ticket. The goal is to make you fix your headlight. So we wouldn't say that that's really something that we're foregoing revenue, because the goal of that ticket is not just to get the fee. There's others that, as DOR has already said, have broad fee authority delegated to them. And then the remainder, a lot of them are pretty routine. There's a host of senior discounts for DMV fees and museum entry, and there's fee waivers for disabled veterans for parks and, again, DMV fees that we didn't really feel were something that was a problem. There were some provisions in DEC and DNR that could be reviewed. We've already mentioned a couple of those. We also recommended the review of some of the provisions, the royalty modifications that Senator Michicki identified, because with the information presented, it's unclear whether they really break even or not. It may be that they do, but that's something that we'd have to have further information for. So since we review agencies on this cycle, in 2019, we are, by statute, supposed to review all of the remaining agencies. There are no remaining agencies that have identified indirect expenditures. So we will not have a 2019 report, or if it, we may have a one-page explanation of why we don't have one. But at this point, there's not a report. Then in 2021, we'd start all over again with Department of Revenue and other agencies. So that's all I had. If there are any questions, I'm happy to answer. But
questions from committee members. Senator Machicki.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I appreciate your recommendation to review the Alaska Marine Highway System discounts and passes. There's three categories of spend: the children's discounted tariffs, the employee annual.
Could you give us a page number?
Yes, page 127, 128, Madam Chair.
Please continue.
So three categories of spend: the children's discounted tariffs, the employee annual passes, and the underage discounted tariffs amount to $3.265 million in foregone revenue to the state. And I think there are some categories here worthy of consideration. We've cut fairly significantly in the marine highway system, but it still has an offset that's extremely expensive to the bottom line, very heavily subsidized. So I think, obviously, the recommendation by Ledge Council recommends that it's reevaluated, and it's probably something worth considering.
Senator Machicki, do you know if the provisions, some of the provision listed here, may be part of a bargaining unit benefit?
Madam Chair, I don't believe those three are related. So two of them are any traveler. The one is the children's age 6 to 11 get a 50% discount. One is 5 and under have a free pass. And I'm not saying those things should go away. I think they're worthy of evaluation or adjustment. The other one that's related to the employee annual passes, I don't believe is a part of the bargaining unit on the free annual pass, but that has a $1.25 million impact. I think what is part of the bargaining category was the being able to use the marine highway system for free when you're going to and from work. I could be mistaken, but I believe that that's the separation of those two categories.
Thank you, Senator Machicki. Senator Dunleavy?
Just the brief at ease.
Brief at ease. We're back on the record. Senator Dunleavy, any questions?
No.
Thank you. Any questions for Legislative Finance? Mr. Painter, thank you for joining us today. We appreciate the additional information. Is there anything else to come before the committee this morning? Tomorrow, Wednesday, February 1st, we'll be hearing from Devin Mitchell. He's the State Investment Officer from the Department of Revenue, and he'll be here to talk about debt. So there's a debt. There's two reports that are out there on debt. This will be the affordability, debt affordability analysis, and the state debt report. So there are two different reports that you can access to review prior to the meeting that will be reviewed tomorrow. With that, we're adjourned.